Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program is Jimmy McPartland. It is one of a series of programs that I intend to do on cornet or trumpet players influenced or at least inspired by BIX Beiderbecke. Today, it will be Jimmy McPartland. He was born James Dugald McPartland on March 15, 1907, died March 13, 1991. Born in Chicago, Illinois, his father was a music teacher and baseball player. Family problems caused Jimmy and his siblings to be partly raised in orphanages. After being kicked out of one orphanage for fighting, he got in further trouble with the law. Fortunately, he had started violin at age 5, then took up the cornet at age 15. He credited music with turning him around. He confessed that if it weren't for music, he probably would have been a hoodlum. McPartland was a member of the legendary Austin High Gang with Bud Friedman, Frank Teschmacher, Dick McPartland, Jim Lanigan, Joe Sullivan, and Dave Tough. They were inspired by the recordings they heard at the local mall shop, The Spoon and Straw. They would study and try to duplicate what they heard on recordings by the New Orleans Rhythm Kings and others, and would frequently visit with Louis Armstrong, only a few years their senior, and King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band at Lincoln Gardens. After playing through high school, their first musical job was under the name The Blue Friars. In 1924, at age 17, McPartland was then called to New York to take BIX Beiderbecke's place in the Wolverine Orchestra. BIX quietly sat in the back of the club during the audition, later revealing himself with the compliment, "I like you, kid. You sound like me, but you don't copy me." They became friends and roomed together while BIX gave McPartland pointers. At that time, BIX picked out a cornet from McPartland that he then played throughout his career. From 1926 to 1927, he worked with Art Castle. Also in 27, he was part of the historic Mackenzie Condon's Chicagoans recording session that produced China Boy and Nobody's Sweetheart. Finally, in 1927, he joined Ben Pollack's band for 2 years and was one of the main soloists along with Benny Goodman, Bud Freeman, Jack Teagarden, and Glenn Miller. He played on the 1928 recording of Room 1411, which was composed by Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman as part of Benny Goodman's Boys and released as Brunswick 4013. He also moonlighted in Broadway, Pete Benz. McPartland then went to New York City and played with a number of small Combos. He co-wrote the song Making Friends with Jack Teagarden. 1930, he moved the... Let me get started with the music. I don't want to overdo it with the biographical information. There is quite a bit to more to go. This comes from Wikipedia. Let's have a couple of recordings in, and then later on I'll read the remaining section of this biographical sketch. The first recording that I want to play is from October 12, 1927. These are the so-called original Wolverines, but there are only two of the members of the Bix Wolverines in this particular recording session. Jimmy McPartlin is on cornet, Mike Derso trombone, Maurice Berkov clarinet, alto sax, clarinet, alto sax, Dick Voino piano and directing, one of the members of the Bix Wolverines, Dick McPartlin on guitar, Basil Dupree bass, and Vic Moore on drums, another of the members of the Bix Wolverines. I'm going to play a couple of recordings from this October 12, 1927 session. First, Royal Garden Blues, a tune that Bix himself recorded, and then A Good Man Is Hard to Find, another tune that Bix also recorded. So let's listen then to Jimmy McPartlin with the original Wolverines, 1927. Thank you. no question that Jimmy McParland was under the spell of Bix. And we can hear him in the Bix mode, not only in the solos, but also in the ensemble work. Okay, let me continue with the biography. In 1930, Jimmy McParland moved back to Chicago, working with his brother Dick in a group called the Embassy Four. He was then a band leader, singer, master of ceremonies at the Three Deuces nightclub. He also worked with Ross Colombo, 31-32, and the Harry Reeser Band, 33-35. During this period, he married the singer Dorothy Williams, who, along with her sister Hannah, who later married the boxer Jack Dempsey, performed at as the Williams sisters, and they had a daughter, Dorothy. They soon divorced, and McParland spent time in South America. From 36 to 41, McParland led his own bands and joined Jack Teagarden's big band until he was drafted in the Army during World War II. After participating in the invasion of Normandy, McParland met his future wife in Belgium, the English pianist Margaret Marion Turner. They married in Aachen, Germany, and moved back to Chicago, where Jimmy appeared on the Windy City Jamboree before finally settling in New York. Soon, Jimmy McParland was part of Willie the Lion Smith's band, along with Jimmy Archie, Pee Wee Russell, George Pops Foster, and George Wetling, which won a Grammy for their soundtrack to the 1954 film After Hours. McPartland proudly introduced his new bride around the New York jazz scene, but knew that Marion's future didn't lie in playing traditional jazz. He encouraged her to develop her own style and form her own group, which led to the establishment of her long residency at the Hickory House with a trio including drummer Joe Morello. McPartland's outgoing personality and stage presence led him to try his hand at acting, resulting in a featured role in the Alcoa Hour episode, The Magic Horn, in 1956 with Sal Mineo, Ralph Meeker, and other well-known jazz musicians. He also later performed in a production of Showboat. 1961, McParland appeared on a DuPont Show of the Month musical extravaganza hosted by Gary Moore, called Chicago and All That Jazz, featuring many great names in jazz, including Gene Krupa, Jack Teagarden, Eddie Condon, Pee Wee Russell, and Little Armstrong. McPartland performed as guest star with many bands and at festivals during the 1970s in the U.S. and out of the country. The McPartlands divorced in 1970. However, they continued to work together, stayed friends, and remarried just a few weeks before Jimmy's death. In 1984, a surprise 77th birthday celebration in New Jersey was thrown for McParland by friend and trombonist Chuck Slate. There was a great band there, including Chuck, McParland, Dick Wellstud, Sonny Ego, Frank Tate, George Anders, and Marion playing a set. McParland's played great and was very touched by the full audience of his fans. McPartland died of lung cancer in Port Washington, New York, 1991, 3 days before his 84th birthday. Coincidentally, longtime friend, collaborator, and Austin High Gang member Bud Freeman died the next day. Okay, that this much for biographical information. Let's continue with the music. Now, of course, I couldn't have a program on Jimmy McPartland without having a recording by Mackenzie and Condon Chicagoans. So I'll go to the recording session of December 8, 1927, the first recording session of this group, with Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Frank Teschmacher on clarinet, Bud Freeman tenor sax, Joe Sullivan piano, Eddie Condon banjo, Jim Lanigan tuba, bass, Gene Krupa drums. The two numbers waxed on that session of December 8, 1927 were Sugar and China Boy. So here is Jimmy McPartland with Mackenzie and Condon's Chicagoans, 1927. I love the sound of Frank Teschmacher on clarinet. It really fits my taste to a T. Again, the two recordings that I just played, Sugar and China Boy, were recorded by Bix. Both of them with Paul Whiteman. The style of the Mackenzie and Condon Chicagoans is very different from that of other small groups of that type playing around this time, Red Nichols and his Five Pennies or Bix and Tram. They really, these Chicagoans brought in something new. And I will point out that the solo of Jimmy McPartland in Sugar is highly Bixian. It sort of raises a question in view of the admiration that Jimmy McPartland had for Bix and the fact that he had replaced him as a cornet player with the Wolverines. Why didn't Paul Whiteman hire Jimmy McPartland to replace Bix when Bix left Whiteman due to illness? I guess Jimmy McPartland was available at the time anyway. Something to consider. But let's continue with the music. Now I want to go to a recording from January 23rd, 1928 by Benny Goodman's Boys with Jim and Glenn. The boys are Jimmy McPartland at cornet, Glenn Miller trombone, Benny Goodman clarinet, Vic Bridis piano, Dick Morgan guitar, Harry Goodman bass, Bob Conselman drums and vibraphone. The two tunes that I want to play from this January 23rd, 1928 session are A Jazz Holiday and Wolverine Blues. Wolverine Blues is the composition by Jelly Roll Morton, and apparently because the Bix Wolverines play that tune very often, they took up the name Wolverine Orchestra. Okay, so let's now listen to Jimmy McPartland, one of the boys in Benny Goodman's Boys, Chicago, 1928. Thank you. I didn't do it on purpose, but I will point out that in the two recordings that I played by the Chicagoans, the first one was a slow sort of a ballad, and it was followed by an up-tempo number. Here again, the same thing, the first tune, A Jazz Holiday, sort of a slow, a ballad type. And the very up-tempo Wolverine Blues. I will say this, perhaps many of you or most of you will disagree. I think that the clarinet solo at the beginning of A Jazz Holiday by Benny Goodman is very Bixian. And of course, there is a highly Bixian trumpet cornet solo by Jimmy McPartland there also. All right. Let's continue with the music. I want to go now to October 16, 1928. And now I have Irving Mills and his Hotsy Totsy Gang. Two recordings. First the Dardanella, and then Since You Went Away. These are the first two recordings with vocals that I'm playing today. Dardanella has a vocal by Ben Pollack, and Since You Went Away has a vocal by Milton Irving, which is a pseudonym for Irving Mills. The band consists of Jimmy McPartland and Al Harris on cornet, Jack T. Garden on trombone, Benny Goodman clarinet, soprano, alto sax, Gil Rodin clarinet, tenor sax, Larry Binion tenor sax, Al Beller violin, Vic Priddis piano, Dick Morgan banjo guitar, Harry Goodman tuba, Ben Pollack drums. So let's listen then to a couple of tunes from 1928 by Irving Mills and his Hotsy Totsy Gang with Jimmy McPartland. One, Dardanella, that was recorded in the early 1920s. And then Since You Went Away, Jimmy McPartland, Irving Mills, Hotsy Totsy Gang, 1928.
Thank you. been missing you since you went away. I feel so lonesome and blue. Can't make myself contented somehow. Life doesn't mean a thing to me now since you went away. I've drifted in despair. Somehow I just don't care what comes my way. It's awful hard, I find, to keep you off my mind since you went away.
Listen Carefully and the Obbligato by Jimmy McPartland behind the vocal. And tell me if you don't think that at the end of that obbligato, what Jimmy McPartland plays sounds very much like From Monday On, the recording that the Bix made with Paul Whiteman. Okay, now I'm going to move to March 1st, 1929. Bed Pollack and his Park Central Orchestra. We have Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Ruby Weinstein trumpet, Jack Teagarden trombone, Benny Goodman clarinet, alto sax, baritone, Gil Rodden clarinet, alto sax, soprano, Larry Binion clarinet, tenor sax, soprano, Vic Bridis piano, Ed Bergman and Al Beller on violin, Bill Schumann cello, Dick Morgan banjo or guitar, Harry Goodman tuba, Ray Bauduc drums. And the two tunes that I want to play are two that became famous in a Maurice Chevalier film entitled The Innocents of Paris. The first is Louise, and then Wait Till You See Ma Chérie. Vocals on both of these by Smith Ballou. So here is then Jimmy McPartland with Ben Pollack, 1929.
Never knew, but wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true? Someone like you could love me, Louise.
Ben Pollock. please you, Ben Pollock.
At the beginning of Louise, the sound that Jimmy McPartlin plays on his cornet is very much like Bix's sound. And I'll say this again and again, maybe many of you will hit me over the head for this, but there is a solo by Benny Goodman after the vocal, and to my ears it is very Bixian. Okay, let's wind up this program on Jimmy McPartlin with a couple of tunes by Jan Garber and his Greater Columbia Recording Orchestra. Jimmy McPartlin on cornet. There is another cornet, an unknown trombone, two clarinet alto sax, a clarinet tenor sax. Adrian Rollin is on bass sax. Jan Garber is on violin, he's the leader. An unknown piano. And the two tunes are Putting on the Ritz and When a Woman Loves a Man. I guess first I'll play When a Woman Loves a Man and then Putting on the Ritz. The vocal in When a Woman Loves a Band, When a Woman Loves a Man, is by the banjoist Eddie Page. And the vocal on Putting on the Ritz is by Maxwell Covert. So here is Jimmy McPartlin with Jan Garber and his Greater Columbia Recording Orchestra, New York, 1930.
Be conceited, a weakling who cheated, still one woman in town. Can't help but feel someday he'll settle down. Pile up your seven seas,
mountains and rocks and trees. You're up against a thing stronger than these when a woman loves a man.
Of high brown from down the levee, all misfits putting on the Ritz. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening with her swell bow rubbing elbows. Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits putting on the Ritz.
Recording of When a Woman Loves a Man by Roger Wolfgang has been considered by some Bixophiles to be a lost Bix side. They believe that the solo at the end after the vocal is played by Bix Beiderbecke. Of course, that's a controversial conclusion or opinion. And we have discussed this in the forum a few years ago. The other interesting thing about the Roger Wolfgang version of When a Woman Loves a Man and the version by Jan Garber is that the statement of the melody at the beginning of the recording is different in the two recordings. Well, let's get back to Bix now.
Thank you.
We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.